Blog Talk Radio.
Goshen is God's protected place. So during these stressful times, we send this message out to families all over the world. May God's Goshen be with you.
We pray peace.
Oh,
in this time of fighting.
In this time of fighting.
We pray love.
Love.
In this time of hating.
In this time of hating.
We pray safety.
We pray safety.
In this time of killing.
In this time of killing.
The joy of the Lord.
Send the joy, God.
In this time of stressing.
In this time of stressing.
We pray Goshen.
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 It's God's protection.
In this time of fighting, we pray love.
Love.
In this time of hating,
in this time of hating,
we pray safety.
We pray safety.
In this time of killing,
for you and your family.
The joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord.
In this time of stressing,
in this time of stressing,
we pray Goshen.
When we pray Goshen,
Goshen.
We're praying protection. That's the scripture.
There you will be near me.
Your children.
Oh.
Living in Goshen.
There you will be near me.
God said your family will have everything they need. Come on, y'all. Take it up. Oh, the hand of the Lord. May he rest,
his grace and mercy,
let it always surround you,
supernatural discernment,
when you come and when you go, for you and your family, God's divine protection, we're praying Goshen, God's protection for the world. We pray.
Goshen.
May the Lord rest. When you come, when you go. Now put your hands together.
Take down!
listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And this is a very special Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, July the 5th, 2021. And as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you please bow your hearts with me as I go to the Lord. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come to your throne of grace right now in your holy, righteous, precious name, asking you to remove me from self and step into my body of clay so that you may teach your servants and your children what you would have them to know through this teaching tonight, Lord. I pray for every listener, Father God. I pray for that the hearts and the minds will receive everything that I will say tonight with the love in which it is being given. And Lord, I just pray that we will be empowered, impacted, and activated to serve you and live a more abundant life in you right now. So Lord, I pray this all in your son Jesus' name. And if there's someone that does not know him in the pardon of their sin, I pray that tonight would be the night that they would come to the master protector, the good shepherd, you, Lord Jesus. And I pray it in your holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Good evening, everyone. I want to once again welcome you to this evening's program. This is a very special Taking It to the Street. This is part one of a two-part docuseries entitled The Cardinal Sin, When Shepherds Fail to Protect the Flock. Amen. You see, the main ideal of protecting the flock is geared toward protecting God's doctrine. Now, an under-shepherd must warn and rebuke sheep who are being led astray by unbiblical teaching. Pastors or shepherds must protect the sheep from those who would do harm, regardless of whether the harm is doctrinal, physical, emotional, spiritual, or sexual. Now, many of us know false teachings have been and will continue to be one of the primary battlefronts that we as servant leaders must face, and we have to engage in combat to protect the biblical fidelity of our churches on the daily. Now, however, one would argue that in this information age that's opened up by the floodgates of the internet and social media, we are opened up to a stream, just a flood of false doctrine, and it's streaming into our local churches in a way that we have never experienced before in the history of Christianity. Now, our methods of operation and learning, along with the moral relativism of our culture, has weaponized the wolves that seek to devour the doctrinal integrity of our congregations. In other words, we setting our flocks up to fail. We're setting our flocks up to be led to be fed to the wolves, okay? That was just a very polite and theological way of saying that. Now, the tactics are often subtle, but the implication, saints, they reveal themselves in such atrocious ways like division and dissension and falsehoods and distortion, all of which contort the unity of God's people. And for this reason, protecting the sheep from the wolves through our preaching is indispensable as we minister in this modern world. Once again, this conflict is nothing new. The Apostle Paul addresses this very issue in his final plea to the elders of Ephesus in Acts 20. As Paul approaches the end of his life and begins to recede into the shadows from direct oversight of a congregation in Ephesus, he gathers the elders for specific instructions as he passes on the mantle of leadership. This farewell address is instructive to us as pastors because one doesn't use their last words without saying something that is all important and necessary. So when considering what it looks like to guard the sheep against wolves through preaching, it would serve us well to consider the dying apostles' instructions to those who would be the protectors of the church in Acts 20, 17 through 36. So let us now turn to Acts chapter 20. We will begin at verse 17, and we will go through verse 36. If you are listening via your computers, you are more than welcome to go to BibleGateway.com and type in Acts chapter 20, scripture 17 through 36, and it will pull it up for you. Amen? Amen. And the word of God reads as follows. And from Malchus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and he prayed with them all. So from this scripture, first, we know that a pastor must courageously protect the flock through their preaching. In Acts 20:18, Paul poses a question to the elders in Ephesus as a means of an example. He says, consider how I was with you. In asking this question, he is calling them to examine his life in the context of his calling. If the elders were to look back at the sum and the substance of Paul's ministry, one of the many examples he set for those who would follow him as leader was that of courage in biblical instruction. Now, beloved, there will always be a temptation to shrink back from preaching what is profitable when the consequences of confronting false doctrine place one in a precarious position. As Paul says in Acts 20:20, I did not shrink back from teaching anything that's profitable for you. Like Paul, we as pastors understand that while all biblical teaching is profitable, not all teaching is comfortable, okay? there will always be a temptation to shrink back from preaching what is profitable. But, you know, we have to remember the consequences of not confronting false doctrine, okay? We have to stand up and we have to preach this word, hallelujah, in a way that every man, woman, boy, and girl will understand what it is like to have a relationship with Jesus. They need to know what it means to be in relationship with Jesus and how their life should look when they are in a relationship with Jesus. We have to preach that word in season, out of season. We have to preach that word even, especially first to ourselves and then to others. You know, because see, when I think about preaching, when I think about being a pastor, a protector, God's watchman on the wall, I can't think about that without thinking about the stewardship that I have received from God. Just like at the end of his address, Paul exhorts the elders to watch their own lives and watch over the flock God has called to them. He said, be on guard for yourselves and for all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now notice that Paul first reminds these elders of their call by God to serve in this role. But he also goes on to point out that, namely, it is the Holy Spirit that appoints pastors to such work. Now, certainly there must be a desire in the heart of those called to take up the noble task of pastoral ministry, as we will find, as we can read in 1 Timothy chapter 3. You see, the local congregation affirms an elder's calling. We see this in the beginning of Acts 13. However, before anyone desires the task and before the congregation can confirm a call, God's Holy Spirit has to be the one that does the calling. Amen. So first and foremost, we've got to know and understand that we are not only are what we are called, but what we are called to do. Therefore, because if God is the one from whom we receive the ministry that we are to fulfill, then we are going to be accountable to him in our preaching. The one who has appointed us expects us to carry out our responsibility in a manner that is worthy of his holy and righteous word. No one should take the office of pastor or the call to preach lightly. And the reason is very simple. The church is extremely valuable to God, and it is covered in atonement and called together as one body. Thus, protecting the unity of the body is dependent on the doctrinal fidelity of the preacher. Uh-huh. Do you hear me now? We're talking about when shepherds fail to protect the flock. And right now I'm going through the things that we should consider. We should consider that we are accountable to God and that the church is loved by Christ. So much loved by Christ that he died for her. And there are some things that we must be ready to fight for, as if we were just showed right here in Acts 20:29-30. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Men will rise up, even from your own number, and distort the truth to lure disciples into following them. Isn't that what we're seeing going on right about now, thanks to God? Paul warns the elders about what will happen after his departure. The wolves will distort the truth of God, and pastors know that churches don't only face the threat of wolves on the outside, but you know what? Sometimes there is a threat from within. The sheep come in, the wolves come in sheep's clothing, and it's sitting right there up in front of us, right there in our face, right there, worshiping every Sunday. Anyone who threatens the unity of the church by division or the purity of the church by personal unrepentant sin, that's who you should view as a potential wolf. Anybody that steps into your church and they are more concerned about their agenda being fulfilled than God's will being fulfilled, that's a wolf in your church. Anybody that steps up into the church and they want all the accolades of God, and they want you to follow their dogma instead of the doctrine of Christ Jesus, that is a wolf up in your church. So after this warning, Paul gives the elders a wonderful word of assurance in Acts 20 and 32. He says, "And now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified." This is an important reminder from Paul that highlights the word of God, centrally a message of grace, which holds the power to protect the body of Christ from being led astray. Interestingly enough, though, Paul notes here and elsewhere that God is ultimately the true and faithful protector of his church. Hallelujah. In other words, pastors, we need to know and understand that we don't shepherd alone. There might be times when we say, well, you know, we just say, "Oh, Lord, I'm not that type of Jesus. Oh, that is just not my favorite." For real? Okay. But you know what? We still have to preach. We have to preach it. We have to exegete God's word. We have, even if it's going to be met with hostility. You know, a lot, because we're finding in the church today, a lot of folks are comfortable living in the sin they're in. So they really don't want a pastor to preach to them about repentance, to preach to them about transformation, to preach to them about forgiveness. They don't want to hear that. They do not actually don't even want to hear about love. And they sitting in the church. So, yeah, anything you say could be met with hostility. But I tell you what, this is what I remember. All I remember, all I can see in my mind's eye is my Lord and Savior Jesus standing before the Sanhedrin, calling a thing a thing. "Oh, ye vipers and hypocrites." Now, I'm pretty sure that did not make Jesus feel good to have to call the religious leaders of the day vipers and hypocrites. But guess what? It needed to be said. And in him saying that, it could have cost him his very life right then and there. So if it's good enough for Jesus, pastor, it better be good enough for you. Because, see, when we're talking about protecting God's flock, we got to do that with some compassion. You know, we can't go into a church like we're going to do some kind of theological surgery. "Oh, we're going to dissect this. We're going to slice and dice that. We're going to lay that over to the side. We just going to throw that in the thing over there. We don't even need that anymore." No. We have to go in, beloved, and we got to preach that truth with love. Hallelujah. Because if we preach it without love, all we going to end up with is a whole bunch of devastation. You know. So we got to keep on telling them. Yeah, they might get on your last good nerve. "Oh, brother, sister, pastor, the saints of God might water ski on your good nerve. They might play basketball on your good nerve. They might, honey, they might bowl on your good nerve." But you know what? You got to pick your flabby, flimsy good nerve up and keep it pushing. Because, see, what Paul tells them in verse 31, he said, "I never stopped. I never stopped preaching to you. I never stopped teaching to you the things that were profitable for you." See, if we're going to be under shepherds of the good shepherd, then we have to be compassionate. And we have to go in with love and sit people down. And we have to do some one-on-ones. You know, we cannot be always sending the deacons. We can't always be telling people to just show up to prayer meeting. We got to sit down and get to know our people. You know, because I'm going to show you this is how I feel. Paul speaking the truth in love gave him an opportunity to speak, period. He says, therefore, I declare to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, because I did not avoid declaring to you the whole plan of God. There it is. Are you feeding your flock the whole plan of God? Because, see, that's their green grass. Are you feeding God's sheep the whole plan? Are you just giving them some watered-down version? Have you taken your sheep over into desolate, dry land? Uh-huh. Now, the words and the verse that I recall that description is of the watchman in Ezekiel. When I think about what Paul is saying here in verse 1 through 7, 33rd chapter. See, a watchman was required to stay composed and alert at the city walls while the rest of the population went to sleep. A watchman must always be awake and ready to sound the alarm when danger was near. Now, if the watchman warns and the people do not heed the words, their blood is on their own hand. Now, if the people are not warned, their blood was on the head of the watchman. Now, courageous preaching must be done with much love and with protective compassion in order to keep God's sheep safe. So what must we do? How can we, as under shepherds of the flock of God, protect the flock from those who would abuse his precious children? Well, tonight, I'm going to go through, if time permits, I'm going to go through a few things, because I want some of the other servant leaders in the house to get in on this. First of all, we as pastors, we need to go back and reconsider our theological perspective. We are in 2021. And there are times when many of us have come up under people that perhaps have taught that, you know, God doesn't believe in divorce. Or, you know, and that's not true. You know, Jesus did give a way for people to biblically get divorced. But we're living in 2021. You see, and, you know, we have to get out of our heads, servant leaders. I know that some of you went to seminary. Oh, yes, y'all, went to your Bible colleges and all of that good stuff like that there. But let me explain something to you. You got to look around at the situations and the times that we are living in. You're going to have to apply that word to today, okay? So some of the things that we used to say, we might come to understand in our growing and in our knowing that we might not have been taught everything correctly. And when we don't, and the way we do this, saints of God, is that we first have to educate ourselves. See, I grew up in a day where, you know, I'm sure there was domestic violence, but nobody talked about it. Now the church is full of folks that may be suffering from abuse through domestic violence, through pedophilia, however. But we have to now look at that. See, Satan has ramping it up, so we have to get with him and get our countermeasures together. And one of the things that we have to do is keep up with the times. You know, we used to tell our children, you need to obey an adult. Well, no, we can't tell our children no more that anymore. We can't give our children the benefit of the doubt anymore, because the very people that say they are sworn to protect and serve, or that they are ministers of God, are the people that are molesting them, that are hurting them, that is damaging their very soul. So no, I can't tell children anymore, you just do what an adult says. Because all adults aren't right, even in the clergy. So we have to look at what's really going on, because we never, ever, ever want to inadvertently empower those who are doing the oppressing. But so when we keep silent, when we don't address things, that's what happens. When we don't shine the light on the whole word of God, when we don't take it into account what's going on in the world, we have to know and understand we have to look at our views. Does our views protect the abusers or the victims? You know? You got to look at that. Because, see, our view should be we want to protect the victims and we want to transform the oppressor. Now, I consider myself a pretty good judge of character, and that's only because I don't do any judging of the character. I let Jesus tell me what's going on with people. But, however, there are some key indicators for those who are abusers. And that's why, even though nobody may have come to you yet saying, you know, my husband hits me or I'm being touched inappropriately, as a pastor in 2021, it should be a part of your due diligence to go educate yourself about sexual assault. Go educate yourself about the devastations of rape. Go educate yourself, my Lord, about the devastations of abuse. You see, abusers are very manipulative, and they can be right under your nose in your church. Your wife, you know, him and his wife can come in. But you'll start to pray, and so when they do that, you have to begin to stay prayerful. You have to pray, because, see, the husband might be doing all the talking, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, wow, you know, he's really anxious to get going. He's really eager to go. He's really wanting to make amends. No. Well, that could very well be he's a real good manipulator. Manipulators know the things that they need to say. They know the things that they should be doing in order to appear as if there's something else. So just because a man comes in and, you know, him and his wife is there, you watch that body language of that wife. You know, you're sitting there praying and you're looking around at his kids. You checking out what's really going on. By the power of the Holy Ghost, you're taking it all in. Don't get so caught up in being, you know, some pastors, you know, they get so called, yes, you're coming to me for advice. Come out yourself, okay? Come out of yourself, because you will never see what the problem is if you already so full of yourself, you can't even hear them. Okay? Let's just get that clear. So you have to be we have to be prayerful at all times and look at the situation. We have to reckon that we have to reconsider, you know, our perspective, and then we've got to be able to recognize those seated characters. Okay? We have to know we have to learn how to trust our gut. We have to learn how to pray. And if the Lord tells us something, you know, we don't try to repaint that person with a different brush. We don't try to dismiss it. We can't tell ourselves, oh, no, maybe I'm just being oversensitive. No. You know, weed, if you don't, if you're not sure, you're faced with something and you're not sure about it, pastor, go to another pastor. Talk to your colleagues. Ask them about it. Read. Google it. Take a class. Do what you have to do. But know the characters and know what you're dealing with. And then, excuse me, pastor, I do believe that we need to get back to the reality of evil. Okay, a lot of us act like hell don't even exist anymore. See, I don't know about you, but as for me, I believe in the doctrine of total depravity. What does that mean, Bishop? That means that I believe that every aspect of our humanity has been tainted by sin. I'm saying that I believe that there is nobody down here that is immune from sin. I'm saying that old Flathead, being the master manipulator and deceiver that he is, he wants us to think, oh, what's wrong is right, and what's right is wrong. You know, what's so funny of it, and what kills me is some of our same pastors. Oh, when we outside the church, we'll be sitting, here we go, here, you hear this, look at that, look at that. You know, good and well, that young man shouldn't be doing that. He know he's selling drugs. That's killing our community. Okay, that's what you say outside the church. But Aram, how come you not saying the same thing to Brother Davis, who's sitting up in the church, sleeping with half the choir, or, you know, associate minister who hasn't got the count right for the offering since he got there? Why aren't you calling that out? See, that's what I'm saying. We have to get it together, servant leaders, and understand evil is real. It exists, and it's infiltrated our church. It's coming to our house. It has taken a couple of seats, and it don't plan on going anywhere unless we, as my little sister, Apostle J. Leon, said last Thursday, get our heads out of our butt, come up out of them caves that we put ourselves in, and start preaching and teaching this gospel in a way that lives can be changed and transformed, you know. People walk around sometimes, you know, it's almost like pastors just seem to walk around, you know. It's like they prepare their messages for Sunday, whether it's going to minister to someone or not. They come in late. They make their grand entrance to the pulpit. They preach a word or teach a word. Okay. And then they go up out to church. They're ready to go to Sunday dinner. Without, when they see the signs that the evil one is lurking about, you know, they walk right past the nursery that is empty. I mean, that it has no small children in it, but they walk by a darkened nursery where teenagers is sitting in there, that you walk past that, and then you act all shocked and dismayed when some little girl comes up pregnant. Huh? You got to get your head out the sand, come up out that cave. Look, the devil is trying to take the church out, and we as shepherds, we are not protecting. In fact, we are setting our sheep up, and it is time for us to get it together, get in order, look, call a thing a thing, and let's work on this according to the word of God. You know, I'm just here to tell you. And sometimes, pastor, you might just have to reassess your self. I'm going to get real. You know, if you are continually in this fog and you're just overwhelmed from dealing with abuse cases or, you know, you really aren't getting into studying any of this or finding out anything about it, then you're going to feel like, you know, you're not prepared. So you don't even want to address it. You want to address it from the pulpit. You want to address it one-on-one because you know you have done nothing to prepare yourself to deal with that situation. That's a cardinal sin when you have been called to protect, you know. Thanks to God, we got to look at our approach too, you know. Because I found or I've observed, let me put it like this. I want to say this carefully. In some cases, I've seen where I have felt that the church leadership should have worked more quickly to remove abusers from the church. And, you know, I don't care how popular a person may be in the church or how much they give in the church, but, you know, what we need to do is address that sin, call it out. And if they're repentant and they were, you know, they want to be forgiven, they're willing to work, okay. But let me tell you what happens when you don't address it. Often, an abuser will try to convince other people and get other people over on their side. It doesn't have to be, and I'm not just talking about sexual abusers, any kind of abuser. Anytime you're cutting down somebody's character, anytime you're allowing others to gossip about one another, anytime you're allowing them to be critical of one another, anytime you're allowing them to browbeat one another, beat each other up with the word of God, okay? You are letting the abusers broaden the circle, you know. Now, I know that some people, our first instinct is to say, you know, well, everybody deserves a second chance. You know, that's what Jesus is all about. You know what I'm saying? But you have to know and understand that you need to call a thing a thing because it helps the congregation to know how to relate to people that whether they are being abused or they are the abuser, okay? You need to educate your flock so they will understand how the enemy works in any given area. If they're not informed, then they'll be more likely to be confused, to be manipulated, to be deceived. So we have to start educating and protecting our flocks. We have a great responsibility to our flocks to make sure that they are spiritually fit, that they are spiritually strong, that they are spiritually equipped, and that anything just any and everything can't come along and toss them to and fro. So tonight, I think I'm going to stop right here for tonight, and we will pick up next week. We're going to finish some of the things that we need to do, and we're going to look at some case studies because we're going to get into some of the specific areas where we as clergy are really not protecting our flocks. Now, I am being joined tonight by some excellent shepherds of God, and I'm going to let them weigh in with their comments and praise or what have you tonight. And we're going to start with Apostle Edwin Holloway and Prophetess Kathleen Holloway, and then we're going to move to Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen. Come on in the room if you have a word.
Amen. Oops. Amen. Amen. I just praise the Lord for this word tonight. And this was some really deep, just flat out teaching the truth about leadership. And along with we need to know, we need to engage in combat is what I hear. And we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared. It's more than, like Bishop already said, it's more than going to a school. I heard someone with a PhD that told me, well, you know, apostles, they just the ones that have been, have the PhDs, they know more. And I had stop them.
Amen.
And I had to stop them and tell them, yeah, you may know bookwork, but do you know, really know Jesus?
Well,
do you have discernment? Are you being led by the Holy Ghost?
Come on.
Are you being led by the Word of God? So it's a lot more than education. There's a lot of saints of God with the power of God. We have to have the power of God because, like Apostle said, well, I've been to Kneebone College, and that's how I got my BA degree, my born-again degree. But pastors also, as we see the churches as a whole in these pastors, those of us that know, God may give us a word to give them or pray, really pray for the church. Pray for the leadership that God will have his leadership in the ministry. There was just so much in this tonight, and it was just beautiful, beautiful, good, down-to-earth teaching.
That's good, Bishop. Your Father.
Thank you. God bless you.
Scripture says, know them that labor amongst you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's for leadership and for leadership. We must know. If we see something, we've got to pray. And we got to seek God for the wisdom of God. We've got to know them that are around us. For us, for Prophetess and myself, when someone comes to the ministry, we ask God, God, pull the cover. God, pull
Amen.
The cover.
Show me that heart.
So I can know, so I know them, so I can know what's going on. And every time God pulls the cover. And the devil just give them a little time. Give them a little time. If they ain't right, the devil's going to show his face. So we got to know. It's not we guessing. We got to know. If we got to take a class, because last October, we tried to take a class, domestic violence, but we couldn't because the class closed. It was they closed the class because they had their quota. But when the class comes up again, we're going to take that class because
Amen.
We got to know. We can't have a ministry. We don't have a ministry of bruised and battered women and children. We don't know. We don't know what's going on. We got to know.
Amen.
We
got
to have an ear to hear. We got to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto us. We got to know.
Yeah.
We've got to see. We've got, it's just that you, pastor always calling that young lady into his office all the time, and his wife ain't in there. You gotta know.
Yeah.
You gotta
know
when you see it. Call the pastor's wife and tell her to go in there and see what's going on.
That's right.
You gotta know. You gotta be praying. Yeah, the pastor's a pastor, but still, if you see something that just don't look right. You gotta pray. You gotta address it.
That's
so
right.
We
Amen.
Give God praise. We give God praise for the teaching tonight. We thank God for the teaching that we might be on the Johnny on the spot when we see something. We got to lean and ask God to reveal it to you. I know them mothers in the old church. They knew. They knew
when
something was up. Because they had the gift of discernment. They discern. They see. And they go to the brother and say, brother, you got to get it right. Mama didn't sugarcoat.
Yes, amen. That's right.
So
amen.
We thank God. We thank God for the teaching tonight. Amen.
Thank you, Apostle.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen, sir. All right, Apostle Zeta Flowers, please come on to the room because I know you know what we supposed to be doing. So you might have something to add to this wonderful teaching on tonight. Some hope.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, this is good timing. A host of people just left my house, relatives, and they just dropped Azalea off. So, but I've been in listening in ever since you came on. But very, very good teaching tonight, as I heard Apostle Holloway say. Very good teaching. And, you know, we need to be reminded, you know, even though we're in leadership roles, we need to be reminded and we need to, you know, be prayerful. We need to really be, you know, watch and pray.
Yes,
because
yes.
We are responsible. We're under shepherds, but we are responsible for the people that the Lord will place in our leadership.
That's right.
We are responsible for them. And I was listening to that. That was very, very good teaching. Because there are wolves in sheep clothing.
Yes.
And so we have to be very protective of the sheep,
yes.
that they're not taking the slaughter, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes, you know, a wolf will show up and then, you know, some may leave with the wolf.
That's right. He'll assess the flock.
Mm-hmm. So we just have to really be watchful. And I just praise God for what he's doing because I'm in a position right now where I'm having to make some decisions, some decisions for the betterment of the ministry. And
amen.
That means placing people in positions. And you just have to really, really know.
That they're
so
called.
I've been watching for quite a while.
Amen.
And the ones that the Lord has sent, you know, I've been watching, not eager to just put somebody on a post or make sure that they are fulfilling what they feel like they're called to do. We have to really, really know, and we have to seek the Lord about it, talk to them about it, make sure that the vision is clear for them, that they know what to expect. That they know you. I mean, you know, people coming into the church to be in leadership roles need to also know that leader that's already there.
Amen.
As well.
Amen.
You know, because the Bible tells us to know those that you labor among.
That's right.
So we really need to know because. When God places people together, he's placing them together. We have a relationship with him, but he's placing them together, us together,
so
that there
them.
Is a relationship between us as well.
That's
so
right.
That
and
when
him.
Others come into the church or those that are unsaved, when they come, they can see that there's a relationship already established between us.
Yeah.
And that way we can better welcome them in so that they feel comfortable, so that they feel loved. You talked about compassion, and that is so important. It goes a long way, a very long way.
Yeah.
We need to be compassionate and not so quick to be upset or angry. At somebody, especially those that are just coming to know Christ.
That's right.
You know, we have to be patient with them. So anyway, I got a lot out of it. It was good, and it's important that it's brought to our attention so that we can be watchful, be aware, be discerning about, you know, the people that are coming
in. Most importantly,
Amen.
Be in the know. Because, you know, we can't, we as servant leaders cannot talk about the congregation unless we know what we're pouring into them. You know, what are we pouring into them? Are we giving them God's word? Are we giving them, are we giving them a watered down version of God's word? Are we really, are we calling a thing a thing? You know what I mean? You know, you can tell if a church, the condition of, to know the condition of the church is simply to look at the pastor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you got a pastor that's going to say, I tell people real quick, if I was in a brick and mortar and a homeless man walked in and somebody looked at them crazy or turned their nose up or pulled their purse up close to them or did anything that could be perceived as unloving, me and that person will be having a conversation with my Bible right after church. Because, see, the Lord's house, everybody in the Lord's house, everybody is welcome. Because they're coming in to see him.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
So, we have to really check some stuff. We got to say, hey.
Yeah.
If we walk out in the best of you and we hear folks gossiping about one another instead of just walking by and saying, praise God, they ain't talking about me. You know, as a pastor, you should be saying, hey, look, the word of God says we have to love one another. Now,
Amen.
How loving does that sound?
Amen.
You know, we have to start stopping and calling it out and taking it to them and saying, look, you know, this is not okay. We cannot come to church on Sunday knocking over pews and then talk about each other, lie to one another, commit fornication and adultery, drink like a fish, run the streets Monday through Saturday and think we're going to be all right because we fell up in there on Sunday.
Mm-mm.
Look, as God pours into you, Pastor, we are supposed to, we as pastors pour into God's people. Now, think about this. If we can only pour into them what God pours into us, then why are we not doing more to empower our brothers and sisters to live an abundant life? Why are we not saying to them, you know God's holy word. You know what God says about this. You know what, you know, I mean, you don't have to be mean about it, but we have to start calling things a thing. We've got to start pointing it out, and we've got to start talking to people. Next week, I'm going to talk about, we're going to go a little bit deeper into this discussion about, you know, failing to protect our churches, because, I mean, I'm going to have some case studies. We're going to go through them, and I'm going to talk to you about the Catholic Church. I'm going to talk to you about pedophilia in the church. I'm going to talk to you about setting our congregations up to fail, asking our congregations to do things that we know are contrary to the Word of God. But because of our prideful, sinful little selves, we are going to determine to have it our way. Well, we're going to put it all out there next week because God is going to hold us accountable. And I don't want to be standing before my Heavenly Father and knowing that he believed in me, he trusted me, he called and he sent me. And I don't want to hear him say to me, depart from me. I know you not. You know, I don't. So I want you this week. So I'm going to be praying for all the pastors. As a matter of fact, I just want you to, all the servant leaders in here tonight, I want you to pray for the pastors. I want you to pray for the servant leaders everywhere because until we get it right, the people of God can't get it right. So hallelujah and glory to God. I want to thank my little sister, Elder Leola, for dropping in. I'm going to catch her on the next program, and I just want to praise God for all of you that did listen in tonight. This was a very deep teaching, but we're going to be discussing it, and I'm just going to have a panel next week with the servant leaders that you heard and several others, and we're just going to put it all out on the table for you. So this has been Bishop Shalane Cook for Taking It to the Street. I pray that you have heard something that has truly empowered and impacted you to live a more abundant life in Christ. We pray that you continue to walk with us here at the Spirit Alive Network. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Good night, everyone. Thank you. Love you. Love you, Leola. Love you, Holloway. God bless you. Thank you.